I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. And we're here talking about the new documentary Forks Over Knives, which will be premiering in theaters on May 2nd. And my next guest is Dr. Caldwell B. Esselstyn, Jr., and he is the author of a wonderful book, Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease. He's got a wonderful website, heartattackproof.com, and is associated with his great work with the Cleveland Clinic Wellness Institute. Welcome, Dr. Esselstyn.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Well, I'm fine, thank you.
Great. Well, I was just talking to Dr. Campbell, and both of you are two of my favorite heroes.
I heard a good portion of that.
And I have had the good fortune to hear you a number of times and meet Anne as well, your wife, and the two of you are a remarkable team. And I love all the work that you've been doing for a long time. Speaking of family, you have four children, and I'm trying to glean some of the information from the website, but you've been on this health path for over 25 years. The plant-based food path, let me say.
That's right.
And has your family been along with you on the path all along?
Totally.
Because that's always a challenging thing when the family, especially the children. And so your son, Rip Esselstyn, is right there, too, with his own book and spreading the message as well. So you're a great team. You've seen some amazing things with heart disease. And the story, some of the story is talked about in the film Forks Over Knives, but what is it like when people come to you and they've basically been given a death sentence where there's no hope?
Well, that was sort of the group that we started with.
Mm-hmm.
But we had considerable guidance from the global review that I had done before we ever started the research. Because even today, if you were a cardiac surgeon and you were to take your business and hang out your shingle in rural China or the Papua Highlands in New Guinea,
mm-hmm.
or the Central Africa or the Tarahumara Indians in northern Mexico, forget it. You better plan on selling pencils.
There's no business.
Heart disease is virtually non-existent in these nations because their cultures by heritage and tradition are plant-based, and they just are not eating any of the building blocks for heart disease. And that's what's so striking. When you take patients, even those who have failed their first or second bypass, they failed their first or second angioplasty, they're too sick for these procedures, or as in our original group, there were five who were told by expert cardiologists they wouldn't live out the year. Lo and behold, those five made it well beyond 20 years, and everybody at 12 years who is totally compliant had put an end to any progression of their disease, and we often found striking reversal or regression of the disease. The body has a really incredible capacity to restore itself once that the injury is no longer occurring.
It has an incredible capacity, and it's relatively quick, isn't it?
Yeah. But as my friend Dr. Ornish will confirm as well, the patients who do it and do it completely are the ones that just absolutely sparkle. And we've just now been looking up over, not beyond our original research group, but we're just about to report on another over 200 patients where, again, with over 92% compliance, the disease is halted. It's ended. It's just so powerful to think that compared to what, sadly, we're doing today in heart disease, is we're using drugs and we're using procedures and we're using operations, which truly can be life-saving in an emergency or in a heart attack. But for the majority of patients, the reason they don't get well and they have to have their first or second stent and the first or second bypass is because even those who do these procedures will concede that they don't treat the causation of the disease. And somehow, years ago, in with physicians who were treating patients with heart disease, they kind of gave up on the idea that patients would ever really ever change their behavior. And that's what we have challenged and found that it is totally untrue.
Well, that I wanted to bring that up because I had a visit not too long ago with a cardiologist just for a baseline of a number of things, and I had a discussion with him, and he just kind of glossed over the first few things that you need for heart health, and he went diet and exercise and blah, 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 and you need to take these drugs. And why is it that so many cardiologists and doctors they really believe that people don't want to change? And yet I think if the doctors told them this is it, they would have a lot more motivation.
Well, there are a number of things, obviously, now that have come into play. One is the fact that most physicians have really, if they're seeing 20 or 25 patients a day, they won't have the time to do the counseling themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the passion for this. And if the truth be known, since physicians really never get training in nutrition, they really don't possess the skill set for it. So what is very frustrating to them is the most powerful tool that we have for ending this disease is something with which they are not familiar. Now, also, we can't overlook the fact that at the present time, there is no insurance mechanism for reimbursement for physicians who are committed to this counseling endeavor. And it's very hard for physicians to be enthusiastic about spending a great deal of time and effort on something for which they're not being reimbursed. But hopefully that will change as time goes on and insurance companies begin to come on board with this.
Yeah, were talking about it earlier, and it has to change. You know, we read all the time about how our health care costs are probably one of the largest chunks in the country's budget, and we don't have better health care than other developed countries. It might even be worse than most of them, and yet we have the highest costs. We need to change.
Well, it could turn around in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
Well, I think the thing that the reason that we feel that we can succeed with this is that right now we have sort of fine-tuned our counseling approach, and because so many of our patients come from out of state. When they come to the Cleveland Clinic Wellness Institute, where I direct the prevention and reversal of cardiovascular disease program, these people obviously can't come to Cleveland and stay for a number of days at a time. So we, about a decade ago, pretty well perfected this very intense counseling seminar, which lasts for about 5 hours. We start at 9 o'clock in the morning, finish at 2. They give them a 44-page handout, a couple of the scientific articles, and a signed copy of the book. Plus, we go over in great detail exactly what is the science behind what has caused their illness. We do this with an opportunity for them to understand the presentation by sort of getting rid of the medical jargon, or where necessary, converting the medical jargon to terms mm-hmm. that the layperson
can understand
and be comfortable with. And then they really grasp. I mean, here are patients, many of whom have had failed bypasses and failed stents, or they've had stents and bypasses, they don't want to have any more of these, or they've had a heart attack and they just simply want to end this. It's very, very exciting for them to recognize the fact that, wait a minute, here's a physician spending 5 hours on this. I really begin to understand that this is pretty darn important. This is how I got the disease in the first place. For instance, if you happen to get poison ivy, we don't spend the day talking to you about different potions, creams, and salves mm-hmm. that we can keep putting on this throughout the summer. We are often guided by saying, you know those funny little three leaves in the backyard?
Yeah.
I want you to crawl through those. And it's something that really has been a basic covenant of trust since the days of Hippocrates. It's that physicians would really inform patients of the causation of their disease. And when they do this, we have an incredible track record of success. But Here we have the leading killer of women and men in Western civilization, where literally physicians are not doing this. And if the patients should bring it up, they are often insulted.
That's true. Now, I hear this a lot. You probably do too, but people say, we're all going to die. So why don't I just eat what I want to eat?
I beg your pardon? You mean I'd really like to spend the last 15 years of my life drooling out of a wheelchair while I've had this stroke? Come
mm-hmm.
on. We can do better than that.
Now, how quickly can things turn around if someone has high blood pressure, for example, and what do they have to do to make a change?
Well, everybody's different. Whether it's high blood pressure they've got, or whether it's the diabetes type 2, or whether it's cardiovascular disease, of the carotid to the brain, the vessels to the legs, or the coronary arteries to the heart. But what I try to really do is get patients to understand the following. That what we understand about heart disease today, and all experts would pretty well agree on this, that what really breaks down at the outset is that we begin to injure the lifeguard, or the guardian of our blood vessel, which is that marvelous layer of cells that is one cell layer thick. And it has this enchanting name, the endothelium. And the endothelial cell has a remarkable job of making this amazing molecule that protects us. And it's a gas. It's called nitric oxide. And that's where it comes from. You don't get this from a pill. You get nitric oxide from your food and from the endothelial cells themselves manufacture it. But what was so sad about our country that we see at the start is that if you look at the autopsy results of our GIs who die in Korea and Vietnam by age 20, 80% of them will already have coronary artery disease that you can see without a microscope.
Wow.
And somebody would say, well, wait a minute, maybe that's the stress of the military. So 40 years later, it was repeated, this time with women and men between the ages of 17 and 34. Lo and behold, the disease is now ubiquitous.
Mm.
Those are people who had died of accidents, homicides, and suicides. And so nobody's really escaping. Now, it's not enough at that age to yet have the clinical cardiac event, but there it is already established. Why? Because going back to what I just said about the endothelium and the nitric oxide, every time certain foods pass our lips, the endothelium is injured. And so the level of nitric oxide that we have when we're 5 and 6 and 7 years of age, which may be up at our as high as our eyebrows,
mm-hmm.
by the time we're teenagers, it's down to our waist, and by the time we're 50 and 60, it's down at our toes,
mm.
and there's not enough nitric oxide left to even protect us from making all these blockages. So what really happens to these patients, and this is a long way of answering your question, how soon, when patients just get it, and they stop every last morsel of food that's going to injure their endothelium, it begins to recover. And we often see patients who will either have a marked lessening or diminution of their chest pain within 10 days to 2 weeks, and sometimes it'll be completely gone.
Wow.
At that time.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very impressive, and everybody's going to be a little different. The same thing applies to their blood pressure. As the artery begins to restore its elasticity, becomes more flexible and responsive, again, this in some patients may be several weeks, others it will take longer.
Right. There's a great graphic example in the film Forks Over Knives about the endothelium and how it works. Makes it very easy to understand what's going on. Okay, so let's see, we just have a couple minutes left, and I was commending Dr. Campbell, and I wanted to do that for you too. Here it is. You're at a time of your life where you've done so much incredible work, and you could just like sit back and relax and enjoy it all, and yet you're just nonstop, keep going, putting this information out there. What motivates you?
Well, I think that as exciting as my surgical career was, here I am, 10 years since I retired from surgery, and I find myself really more passionate about medicine than perhaps ever before, because I really feel that with the information that we have now, I mean, we don't really have to even discover anything more.
That's right.
We are at the cusp of what could absolutely be a seismic revolution in health. And that is a revolution that is not going to come because we discover another pill or because we discover another procedure or operation. This revolution can come about when we understand the need to show the public and get them to become educated with enough nutritional literacy that they can make the kinds of change of selection of nutrients that will protect them from having the an absolute whole host of common chronic killing diseases, everything from diabetes, hypertension, obviously, heart disease, strokes, marked diminution of the common Western cancers of breast, prostate, colon, gallstones, osteoporosis,
and
diverticulitis,
and on and on,
MS, rheumatoid, lupus, it just, allergies, asthma, it's very impressive.
I mean, don't you want to just burst sometime? You have the answer, you know, if the whole world would just get it, what an amazing thing this would be. It makes me want to scream sometimes, but you can't because people won't listen to you.
Well, no, and also that I think, as Colin mentioned, that we are fortunate. And I think that we were quite optimistic that because of the new electronic ways of communicating,
social media,
many people will be able to hear this message than before. And obviously, the tremendous work of Forks Over Knives. I was so taken with the generosity of Brian Wendell, who funded and who was a producer of Forks Over Knives. John Corey and Allison Boone and Lee Fulkerson, all who were deeply committed to make this a real goal of it, to try to share with the public some of the information that is out there and that is known. And, of course, we are up against a tremendous lobby of resistance here. Can you imagine when just today on national television, earlier on the Oz show, Mehmet Oz was with Neil Barnard and they were more or less going over very clearly the foods that one really should eliminate to gain optimal health, and this included meat, dairy, and oils. Well, can you imagine the tremendous lack of enthusiasm from the people who are manufacturing those products? I mean, they're going to really fight, they're going to fight tooth and nail to hold on to the fact they want America to continue to consume these foods, which is going to guarantee that, sadly, millions will perish.
Well,
and so the economics of this get to be pretty exciting for those who are involved.
Yes, exciting and interesting. And that's the end of our show. So I hope the fight is short and quick and we get to the good part sooner than later. But thank you so much. Thank you for all of your work. Visit heartattackproof.com to learn more about Dr. Esselstyn and his fabulous career. And go to forksoverknives.com to find out where you can see the documentary Forks Over Knives. Thank you for joining me. Thank you, Dr. Esselstyn, and have a delicious week. This has been It's All About Food. Mm-hmm.